We are so glad you're with us. Kids, you are welcome to go ahead and be dismissed to classes now. So babies aged to 3 are over here in the main building to my right. And then ages 4 through 6th grade are in the gym. We also have our elders and their wives available over to my left. That if you need prayers this morning, they would love to pray with you. Today is a fun and special day. And I'm going to introduce our speaker. He really doesn't need an introduction, but we have set aside this day for just investing in our parents and families and our students. And today is our Front Porch Parenting Day. We are glad to have David Fraze. David, you can come on up. David is a man of many, many things. LCU professor. He's got a doctorate. He's been in youth ministry and still is part of youth ministry because he helps with a high school football team and so much more. But as Lance said, he is also recently a grandpa. So that's a big one. But David has so much wisdom to share with us today. And we are thankful that he is here. Just to continue as we started this last year, just this conversation of parenting, and it's not just the parents. They need help as well, and it's the whole church coming alongside our students from babies on up. So let's pray for David, and then I'll turn it over to him. God, I just thank you for David Fraze, and Lord, for the work he does in your kingdom. Lord, that you how you've used him over the years, Lord, and him and Lisa and their family. God, I pray you just continue to work in them. Lord, speak through David this morning. Lord, just share the wisdom that that we need as parents and also just as a body of Christ to help our students continue to grow in you and with a faith that will last beyond just now. God, we are thankful for your son. It's his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Tyler, that is the greatest introduction for someone saying you're old that I've ever heard. So thank you. Yeah, my name's Pops, and I like that. And little Olivia Rose was born about almost 9 months ago. My son who, Lisa, my wife is Lolly. I know, we're children of the 80s, so it's kind of cute. Lolly Pops. They keep whispering in my sweet Olivia's ears, poopy paw, and he will be out of my will, the little money that I have left, if she says poo paw. So if there's a poo paw in this room, I totally apologize. So I turned 54 last Tuesday, and I'm just going to say this. I know when I was a kid, I'm like 54. It's like you have one foot in the grave. Now I hear 54 is the new 40, so that's fun. I've lost my cool card a long time ago, but I am doing better youth ministry right now than I did when I was 18. I'm talking, you know, what we count in baptisms, what we count in, like, exciting attachment, and there's a reason for that, because the way I did youth ministry in the 80s is not the way that we do youth ministry today. So on my birthday, I'm in Abilene working with this Texas Commission on Home, children's homes and things of this nature. And a guy walks up, he leads a children's home in Amarillo, and he goes, "You look very familiar." And I looked at him, and I said, "What's your name?" And he gave me his name. And I said, "I was your youth ministry intern in 1988. He said, "Yeah, you're that guy from Lubbock Christian that came to ACU to work at Highland." I'm like, "Yeah, that was me." And all day long, we're talking about connections of students we knew and families. And this thing, just this web of relationships begin to form. So by the end of the day, I'm hugging him. He's hugging me. Friday, you may notice my voice is a little strange. I coach at Friendship High School in Lubbock, Texas, and work with uncaged teenagers every week, and that's fun. So I talk kind of loud on Friday nights, and we beat Abilene High, which is a big deal, Old High. And on the other side of the field was a kid called Josh Hardcastle. And Josh was the son of Jack Hardcastle, and we did a lot of youth ministry together during the day. Jack's still at a church in Abilene. Josh is at a church in Abilene. And I found myself walking around this field before the game with an opposing coach. And we're just talking and talking about life and what's going on, how's his family. It was the most beautiful thing. I love being old. I really do. Because at this point in my life, I want you to like me and thank you for praying for my wife. We've been through this cancer stuff, still battling that. But, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I don't really care what you think about me. I have gray hair. I'm getting ready to meet Jesus. I got a doctorate. So listen, you know, you get to that point and it's kind of fun. I've been written up. I've been called a child of Satan because I worked at the Hills. You know, I've done all this kind of stuff and I'm like, I'm good. And I can just kind of speak truth that comes from a wise place because I failed so often. So when it comes to parenting, last night, one of my friends that is an executive pastor at a church in the Lubbock area, I called him because his son, who's on our sidelines, is injured, and I just needed to let him know, I know he's a preacher's kid, and I had one of those. But I got to let you know the way your son is on that sidelines and the light and the salt that he is and how he could put one foot in the world and one foot keeping his faith. He's doing such a great job. And I said, I also know what it's like to be in your position because you probably go to bed every once in a while at night going, I've just destroyed my kid's self-esteem. And he just starts to laugh because now that Lisa and I are empty nesters, which is kind of cool. We love our kids, but it's kind of fun, you know? But at that same thing, and you know what I'm talking about, if you've ever gone to bed at night because you blew it with your kid, you're in the right place. Can we just have a moment of therapy? If you've ever gone to bed and you said something to your kid thinking, I have just destroyed their entire world, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. The rest of you are just liars. That's a different sermon. One of the days that will come because we're humans. And I get tears in my eyes when I hear Deuteronomy 6 and I realize I am not parenting alone. Everybody say that out loud. I am not parenting alone. Say it again. I am not parenting alone. Also on my birthday, the day before my birthday, I was in Dallas and I had a discussion with an old youth group family who felt so isolated because they're going through struggle and their family is almost shaming them in that struggle. And we're sitting there with tears going, I am so sorry because the family was so concerned about their reputation. That's stupid. Anybody agree with me? Because we don't parent alone. And if your kids have not embarrassed you more than once, I'm not so sure what they're doing, okay? It's going to happen. But isn't it a comfort to know that I could think of names and names and names and names of people who raised me, and that's the reason I'm standing in front of you. Amen, church? So Deuteronomy 6, we're all in this together. So I want you to see this picture, Back to the Future. Here's what we're going to do just for a few moments. I remember the theater I went to in Carrollton, Texas when I watched the first Back to the Future. The concept was kind of crazy. Yes, they made too many movies. But you remember that this time machine, there was something wrong in the past that is affecting the future, so they have to keep going back and forth. And the more they messed with it, the more it impacted the present. That's called generational sin, by the way, in the Bible. That there are things that happen in our lives that are going to have impact upon our children. And so we have to take this idea of pitching and catching faith very seriously. Quite often in youth ministry, again, there's one of those old man statements, been doing this for over 33 years now. Somebody will go, my kids hasn't been baptized yet. They're using bad language. They're smoking with the deacons behind the church. That used to be all right. So weird stuff like that. What are you going to do to fix our kid? Now, even as a young man, I realize there's some things I can't do because it starts at home, right? And it starts with the adults that have surrounded that kid. So don't come to me and think I'm going to be a dry cleaner type youth minister. They're wrinkled. Drop them off. Let me fix them. It takes all of us again. So there are some things, though, that you're thinking, okay, this is getting really heavy and depressing because I don't know where my kids are. My kid's not going to church right now. Here's the great thing about the grace of God that we sang about. God can make us generation changers. He can take our brokenness through His grace, and the outcome can be totally different when we put our foot in the ground and say, I am going to be a changed man, a changed woman. There will be a different narrative. You're like, Dave, how do you know that? It's called the family of Abraham. Go read chapter 12 of Genesis to the very end and wonder how in the world could those people bring Jesus into the world? Kids are gone, right? Judah and Tamar, go read it. Right smack dab in the story of Joseph. And that's how Jesus came into the world. Excuse me? Yeah, go and read if you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're a guest, it's great Bible reading. It would never make a Netflix mature rating, okay? It's crazy. If God can work through that dysfunction because choice is God's. Hebrews 6 says God makes a choice. He makes the promise. He vows to Himself because we always mess it up. That powerful grace can take our brokenness and create generations of believers. Do you believe it? Yes. Romans 8, do not believe what Satan is telling you right now if you didn't say amen. Because God saves, Satan just condemns. And guess what? God has the power to do both, and He says you're all right. Amen? Amen? There you go. Look to the person next to you and say amen. Go ahead. I just forced you to become charismatic. Please don't write me up. Okay, so what you're going to feel like here in just a moment is that I've opened up a power, you know, one of these water mains, and you're just like drinking out of it. There's a purpose in this. I will slow down. I just want to show you that things are different. And the conclusion will make you feel very much like you've gone back in order to have a stronger future. Okay, so here's the first slide, if you would. Leadership begins with listening, so let's listen. And I'll try to follow. I gave her a lot of slides, so thank you. Appreciate it. The reality for young adults. Here's what we look like, okay? This next slide. This is what we'd love to see that happens. So we have this. There we go. Boom. Children. Then we go to youth, they get the car, college, they learn some stuff, and then we become young marrieds. But here's what's happened in this world today. Next slide, please. There's a gap between the two of almost 5 years. The adolescent journey that you and I experienced in the 80s or in the 50s no longer exists. I'm not so sure this idea of adolescence that you and I grew up with really was a reality because my grandparents, which are some of your grandparents' age, were married at 16. All you needed was an eighth grade education. Go have babies. Have fun. Today, what begins in the body ends in culture. And culture's decided something different. We'd love for it to look like this, that we had this linear trajectory. Next slide, please. That looks something like this. You go to high school, you go to college, get a job, then you get married, and then you have kids. Next slide. This is reality today. I want you to study it because everybody laughs, but this is reality. And I'm going 10,000 feet up. If you're uncool parents, kind of like Lisa and I were with our son when he moved in with COVID, you're like, you are awful. Here's what happens. He has to move back during COVID. We're like, you know, you're not moving back unless you have a full-time job. We don't even care where it is, 40 hours a week. He's like, really? So he worked at Home Depot. When he did get COVID, he realized, I got paid for being sick. I'm like, yes, it's called adulting. It's kind of fun. Now go back to work. It's that kind of thing, right? And he said this. He goes, well, moving back home, I feel like it's a step towards homelessness. So, and he starts laughing. Of course my kids can always come back in my home. Of course they know that I love them. But there's a different expectation. Our culture today is like different. And so it started to begin to look like this. So it's 5 years plus options. And here's the big key that's different. Minus relational support. If I'm on a tightrope and I begin the journey on this side, let's call it childhood, and I got to walk to adulthood, and over here it's called interdependence, where I understand it's not independence because I need people in my life. Right here in the middle between those ages of 14 and 21 is something we call middle adolescence. It's why adolescence, this childhood to adulthood, lasts over 15 years. What begins in the body ends in culture. And culture says a high school diploma is not enough. Culture says undergrad's good. Now go get a master's for your field. Now it says you got to do an internship. All this world has changed because culture has lengthened the process. As an educator years ago, when I got out of high school, it's like, hey, you can go to the workforce, you can go to the Army or the Navy, the Air Force, Marines. Now we have a Space Force, pretty cool. And then you can go to college. I got to choose. Today, where's my educators? Every one of them are told that we are teaching kids to succeed in college. College is like a bare minimum these days, it seems like. Now, my son went 2 years to college. It was a glorious, he's brilliant, and he's like, I don't think so, and I'm like, I'm not paying for that rent. And now he's working, making more money than his mom in the oil field. Woohoo! That's crazy. But college wasn't for him. But the narrative of culture presses back against him because his mother's an LPC, and I'm a doctor, and he had to become okay with that because culture is that way. Now, here's the problem with this. If I'm on the middle of a tightrope, what do I need? I need balance, right? I need someone to help me out. The kids in high school to early college, and if you teach that, you understand they are in a stressful situation because some of them do not have the relational support that you and I took for granted growing up. It's even different in discipline. If I get on to a player and that goes to, and it happened the other day, I'll say this. A kid started crying because something happened, the junior in high school. I get a call. Who is this certain coach? I didn't think anything of it. I gave him the name. Bad problem. The coach didn't receive a call from the dad. The dad called the school, who called the AD. The coach was already in trouble. That happens all the time, right, educators? We don't support the relational support. We don't ask, why was your kid crying? We don't ask, what did their kid do? And I went back to that parent and said, what happened? It doesn't matter. My kid shouldn't come home crying. They're junior in high school. Maybe they did something. Just maybe. Well, you know, I don't know. They shouldn't come home crying. What world did you grow up in? Do you see what I'm saying? It's different. The relational support has been disconnected. Next, please. So, they feel bad about this idea of what I'm about to show you. This, the 28 is now the new 18. They know adolescence is lengthened. It just happened last week. We start going through adolescent development with real live, uncaged middle adolescents. Who one of them is my daughter sitting in my youth ministry class, and we begin to talk about what's going on, and there's this argument. There's this fuss. Well, I think the world's too, blah, blah, blah. And they start reading, and we start talking about this, and they're like, okay, I feel it. They feel systemically abandoned by the pressure of this machine that we've put them through. And sometimes also in the way that we try to spiritually develop them. So, three questions. Everybody has to answer by the time they become adults. Who am I? The identity question. Where do I fit? Belonging question. Purpose. What difference do I make in the world? And young people come up with false answers. Go two slides ahead. So here it is. Here's what they think today. One, who am I? I'm a person of shame. Where do I belong? Conditional acceptance. The next slide, please. And then purpose. See if this sounds familiar. Self-fulfillment. The only thing I do in life is get what I need. Those are all false answers. You're like, that's right, let's discipline these kids. Here's the funny part. It's our fault. It's our fault that they come up with these answers. They're just as embarrassed as you are because they know there has to be more to life than just self-fulfillment. They got to know that they'll be accepted not just because of when they do something good, but because they do something bad. So last night, and I'm going to say this, it's being recorded, he would be fine. Donovan Smith at Texas Tech did not have a very good game. He's one of our kids. And before the game, I said, remember, you are loved for who you are and not what you do. Not a very good game that he played. So when he had the ability to be shamed, he's like going, I'll give it 5 seconds and I'm going to move on. Because he knows there's people who love him no matter what they say on ESPN. And it's not about him, it's about his team. How did he get there? His family, his friends, these adults that are like, you're more than that. And it takes a lot of effort. So here's what they should feel. They should feel, who am I? A person filled with grace. Who am I? Where do I fit among the people who love you? What difference do I make? Because I am involved in a bigger mission than myself. Do you see the difference? Do you see when we applauded our brother? I just found your story. He was up here doing the prayer. Amazing. I just heard your story. So glad. Very often I'm like going, he's either really good with prayer request or there's a story. Because y'all started applauding. Standing ovation. I'm like, okay, Tyler, what's going on here? Incredible story. We want what he has. That's our community. I felt grace. He felt love. Did you not? And understand that my world and what I went through serves as a mission and purpose for somebody else who may be struggling. And that poem was a blessing. Did you feel that? That's what every student wants. That's what they need. So let's stand by just for a moment. Let's go to that one. So yeah, we've all heard these things that kids 1 and 2 drift. Yes, we know that we're losing our kids. But let's stand by because there's good information coming. And here it is. This idea of growing young, the next slide, says this. Growing young isn't about changing youth ministry. I think you've already done that. You have a great youth ministry. You have a great staff. It's about changing church culture. Let's hold there just for a moment. I think you're already doing this. This church feels different than a lot of churches I go to because the way that you bring your students in, young and old, the way that they feel welcomed. I literally saw a kid crawling up the aisle, which is awesome. I used to do that as a kid. And you just picked up your kid going, oh, no problem. Nobody looked at her like, get that kid out of here. We laughed at you because it's fun because that was us. But it wasn't a bad laugh, was it? Didn't even feel uncomfortable. Welcome. That's what we're supposed to be about. It's about our entire culture because we believe what we've just sung and what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, then it does take a community. And all of us, whether we have kids at home or not, like me, I don't have kids at home anymore, we still engage with our young people. I'm still a small group leader. What's wrong with me? I don't know. But that's my responsibility to the next generation, amen? Because that's what we're about. So growing young is about church culture. What we found out, there's 6 core commitments that when we studied at the Fuller Youth Seminary, the Fuller Youth Institute, we studied churches that were actually growing younger. Not like more consumeristic young, but actually like this church, young family was coming in. You could hear children in the services. Churches that were almost dead begin to survive. What did they do? Instead of looking at the bad side of all of our kids are leaving, what about the churches that are doing great things? And a bunch of money from the Lilly Foundation and a bunch of money from other foundations came in. And it was the broadest study across denominational lines. We were involved with it in our tribe. What do they do that works? So here's the diagram. Look at this. You can't even see that, so let me read it. It's a circle, and it's really cool. At the very top, keychain leadership. Young people are given the keys to the car and said, hey, try to drive this thing. The reason I'm preaching, because somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, I think you can do this. Give it a shot. And the elders let me preach on a Sunday morning one time. Awful. And they let me know about it. But they gave me another shot. Tapping kids on the shoulder, saying there's something about you. The next one is empathy. You realize what I just described to you in that water hose moment. You know things are different from when you were a kid, and you empathize. You don't start with, when I was a kid, when I learned math, I memorized stuff. And I went and got me a paper route. We don't have paper routes anymore. We don't have paper, by the way. Don't know what happened with that. I make my kids turn in paper, you know, and they're like, what, you're killing trees. Yes, I know. Put a staple in it. I want it on my desk. But It's different in our world today, right? I can empathize with that. It's so different. So I'm sitting in the locker room Friday night, and our starting quarterback's taking little strips of, you know, material and going around and making stripes. And someone said, man, that's something, whatever word. And I want to say, that looks cool, not a word anymore. So, oh, that looks real drip. Is it raining? What's going on? The air conditioning leak? Dude, you are so drip. Cool. So, being an old, weird 54-year-old, I said, yeah, that's real drip. And then just walked away and did that. It was awesome. We got to empathize. Their language, things are different. They know. Get this. You and I grew up, let's talk about sexuality. Did you just say this? Yes, I'm so uncomfortable. We were like, okay, 18, 21, maybe you get married. There you go. The marrying age today is 26, 27, first baby around 27, 28. Woo! That's a lot of temptation. Would you agree? Different world. I can empathize with that. Anytime you talk about sexuality, it makes a point you can move on. So here's the deal. Next one. Jesus' message. You do this really well here. The gospel is not about sin management. It's not about pulling the fire release lever so you won't go to hell. It's about a transformed life. I feel that when you talk about the cross. It just doesn't make a difference for when you die, but it makes a difference when? Right now. You do that. Very positive. Warm relationships. You have those. You walk around the room and you have real live uncaged teenagers walking among the elderly. And it, like me, and it's fun, and you're drinking coffee and eating donuts together. You got kids rushing, trying to break our hips. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's cool. I could say, hey, I'm close to that breaking hip stage. It's frightening. So, I mean, they're running all over the place, and you accept them. This is prioritized everywhere. Let me talk to you if you're annoyed by the video. Why are we having videos in church? I ain't going to make a list of what I like or don't like. Get over it. Because the kids know, because you've empathized and you're using a video instead of a preacher talking in a paper bag like we used to do at Green Lawn, pulling items out of the bag. Very cool. Way above its time. You know they look at screens, so you're looking at a screen so the kids could be captured and empathize and understand. You were prioritizing them. Why are you stopping service and making the kids leave? Let them sit down there and shut up like I did. I'm going to thump them on the head. That's awesome. But they got to go through our worship and communion, and now you're providing something. You're prioritizing things for them. They will remember this. Amen? Because if you don't, they're going to go right out the door at this step. The next thing, and I love what you were announcing, Lance, you're the best neighbors. This generation, I'm going to say this, you'll remember, it has the best BS factor of every generation you've ever seen. And if you're talking love of Jesus and transformation, and you're not impacting your community, they're going to go out the door because it's not, here's the word, authentic. Because if you teach a gospel that changes life, then we have to transform the way that we act in our neighborhoods. You do that, and these churches are growing. So go a couple of slides ahead, if you will. Church summary scores. I did a research recently on Churches of Christ. This is thousands upon thousands upon thousands of churches that have taken our assessment over the last few years. You got red line. Older people are like, nope, I don't think so. Think of it as a stoplight. They're afraid of this generation because they don't empathize with them, so they don't give them the keys to leadership. We're doing pretty good about talking Jesus, but the warm relationships, prioritizing best neighbors, we're just medium at best. Well, for sure we're better in Churches of Christ. Next slide, please. Looks the same. Surprise. All that work for that right there. You're like, well, Dave, I want to know who these people are. Are they the complainers? Next slide. You can't read this at all, but most of this came from people who had 15 to 20 years of experience, if not more, with our family. I'm telling you, this church, you're cutting edge. I'll guarantee you're not redlined on a lot of those things since I've been with you and I've studied you twice. Sorry, I just study people when I show up. You're doing well. But don't you want to do better? So here's what I want to say as we start to land this plane this morning. Present, explore, and build practices is what I'm all about. This is what I would love to do. As I present this information, I drop it at your feet. Just explore what it would look like. How can you take what you're doing and do even better so that your kids can not only hear the message of Jesus, but catch it solid, right? And you build practices. Here's what's so weird about Dave. I'm not going to do that for you because in your context, you have to decide because you're the ones that live in Denison. You know what it's like to be here. And so your programs have to make sense to what you're doing here. So a few things to consider. Next slide, please. Be authentic. All spaces. All places. Be authentic. Of course you need time for adults and time for kids. We don't want to be around you all the time. No offense. We don't. Parents need to talk to parents. Grandparents need to talk to grandparents. But the magic of what we have in here, it needs to be authentic when you get together. And it has to be welcoming. If you feel like young people are creeping in on your territory and the young people feel like you're creeping in on them, guess what? We need to have a conversation, authentic conversation, and figure out how we could be more authentic. Because all of us know when somebody cares about us or they're just trying to sell us something, right? Same as faith. Contextual. Again, you know your needs, you know your resources, you come up with the program. That's how we train ministers today. It's very missional. Any missionaries here? Anybody ever spent time in a mission field? At all. It's contextual. Okay? Relational but programmed. This is a very loaded word. Relationships are very, very significant, but we still need to have really, really good programs like men's conferences, like the Front Porch Parenting Deal. You got to be sharp in what you do. We don't want to waste people's time, but it's all about relationship. If I just came out of the corner room and said, I am now the speaker, listen to me, I don't know if I'd listen to myself. I don't like those people. Y'all brought coffee in the auditorium. I brought coffee and upped you with the Diet Coke. I mean, that's cool. We're just going to talk. I threatened the people in the back who were not talking that I was going to call you down. I mean, we have to be relational because a program without relationship is nothing in today's culture because we're programmed out all the time, right? So we're relational with our programming, and then we're staffed by empathetic adults. Those adults who understand the world is different and are willing to say, tell me more, to sit on the steps of the underground, as we call it, and ask this question, tell me more. They'll talk to you. If you're authentic, that number one deal, they'll tell you more than you want to know. Would you please tell me why drip is a word? Because I think it looks cool. Where's my coaches? Okay. Drip. What in the world? You know, you're like, would you tell me what this means? Can we say cool? Can we say whatever? They'll tell you. And they'll give you a whole Wikipedia article to look at. You don't know what Wikipedia is? Say, tell me more. Say, that's how it works. They want that out of adults. And here's something that just blew me away at a Central Texas church. We made our living on this phrase, which is not part of the restoration movement. Christians only, and the only Christians. Do you realize that's not what Barton Stone and Alexander Campbell said at all? What they said was, up in Cane Ridge, Christians only, but not the only Christians. Wow, it got quiet in here, Tom. So here's what happens. They don't see denominational loyalties like we do. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about our uniqueness and how we practice our faith, that's fine, but we do it with authenticity because these students have little to no denominational loyalty, so they're going to jump from this group to this group and this group to this group to just understand, be empathetic of that. And the biggest one is this, incarnational. It's what Jesus did. Us for them and not us against them. Can you love in disagreement? Can you love when a student shows up in shorts that has holes all in them? That's style today. Can you love our kids when they're loud? You're already doing this naturally, but things to remember in this as you practice those. So my challenge, and then I'll land this plane, is this. Conversation. Understand the need. That is so small. I messed up. The need and the mindset. Understand there's a need to change this mindset and just have a conversation about it. You're going to go to lunch later and say, that doctor dude is crazy. Should we really, whatever, have a conversation, start talking. But as you do that, if everyone in this church will say, is there one thing I can do? Every ministry team, is there one thing I can do to be more authentic, incarnational, and invite young people into? And then if it works, afterwards you process that, and then you repeat. Just find one thing. I changed a back-to-school prayer night, which this is typically what happened. The kids would sit over here. They'd be ushered in. They'd come up on the stage. The elders would say, these young people are going to school. Let's pray over them. Amen. And we'd go back to our space. And I said, let's tap the brakes. Let's try something different. What if we had a season of prayer and it's an entire Wednesday night service? Young kids all the way up to school administrators, and we gathered around them, and one group would stand and pray, and they'd lay hands on them. They still do it today. It was the most amazing thing. We just did one thing. We processed. We repeated. If it makes people mad, ask the question, why were people mad? I don't know. Let's do another thing and try it and change it for the sake of the kingdom. Is everybody with me on this? Because it is our responsibility to raise the next generation. And my kids and my grandkid need adults like you in their lives. Amen? So let me end with this picture, and then we'll sing our way out. See those white shoes? Do you see those white shoes? You see, you, how many of y'all are wearing white shoes today? Yeah, you're welcome. 1980s, baby. See those? Now, I did tuck my shirt in, and I did have a cloth belt. You stop laughing. Okay, so here's the deal. That was the Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop when I was 14. That's my in December from Louisville, Philip and Jan Nichols. I don't even know what he's wearing. Maroon pants, members only jacket. I have a notebook, so I got to take notes. We didn't have pads or cell phones. That's the man on my birthday that still says, how are you doing, Timothy? That's the guy, when every major crisis happened, was at my doorstep. Hard to love as a kid. That's, and right next to that is me with my arm around Philip at Camp Cisco Christian Camp, and I wore a hat. All of you guys have some drip hats now. It's going on. Thank you very much, Drake. Right there, that was a cool hat. They called it Gilligan hat. Didn't help. I still get skin cancer. But, I mean, that was kind of awesome. Some of those people are with us. Some of those people have died. The girl right in the middle was a missionary in Thailand forever. The guy that's sitting like this in the middle is an elder at the Waterview Church. And that was at Camp Cisco years ago. I was 14 years old when that picture was taken. When I was 15, I got to do some early keychain leadership sermons. Last summer, Camp Cisco called and said, we want you to come back and preach. And I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, we want you to come and preach. And at 53 years of age, I stood in the same pulpit, same place, preaching. And at night, so people wouldn't know, I'd just walk out and I'd just weep, just so thankful for the faithfulness of God. It was the craziest experience. So as soon as I left Cisco, guess who I called? My youth minister, Philip. You would not believe where I just preached. There was a quiet on the other side of the phone and teary-eyed. Oh, my word. How grateful that we could go back and look at that. Isn't it fun to be old? That's where we started. I'm glad I have all these memories. Because I'm not just talking to you about theory. I'm talking about something that's changed. It's a back-to-the-future reality. I do not want any young people, if it's their choice to walk away, it needs to be their choice. But we need to do the very best we can to be sure that they have leadership, not just go clean out somebody's yard. They actually have leadership training. They literally, feel understood and empathized with this. They've heard the message of Jesus clearly and correctly, that they understand that we want them here and they feel warm when they're around us. They understand that we prioritized our attention on them because we want to raise them in the Lord, and that we are leading them on mission to impact the community around us. It works. You're like, did we drive this guy all the way across Texas? It works. It's not complicated. But it takes a risk to get out of our comfort zones and do something. And do something. You with me on that? Stand and let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the moments that we'll share this afternoon with just some wonderful individuals. Father, just as scared as all of us when we're raising our kids, thank you for letting us have that moment of learning. But right now, I just pray for all of us in this auditorium that we will take serious the call of Deuteronomy 6 to impress upon our children, not just moms and dads, all of us here, that it is our job to impress upon our children the Lord. So, Father, bless us. If this message has stirred in us, Father, let us make calls to individuals, maybe our own children, and begin to drive that foot into the ground and say, I'm no longer going to move backwards, I'm going to move forward. Whether it's a grandparent, parent, a sibling. And Father, let us do the very best that we can do to be sure that this generation knows the work of the Lord among us, and finds this authentic relationship that we are portraying and that we're living out very attractive. Thank you very much. And through Jesus we pray. Amen.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God.
Yes, right. I want to add my voice to the welcomes that you've already heard this morning, whether you're a part of this body or visiting with us. Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. Fray's pops, I'm telling you, if you guys aren't worn smooth out from listening to that, and even if you are, you need to come back this afternoon. Thank you so much for allowing God to use you this morning to speak to the folks that are here and even the folks that have joined us online. If you are visiting or if you're not aware, Dr. Fray's heard the story, but some of you don't know. Mike, would you wave? And if you can't see Mike, turn around. Mike's back there. You know what he looks like because he was up here. Mike, a few months ago, received a kidney. And if you donated that kidney, would you raise your hand? That would... That would be his bride, Barbara, and what an incredible story. And Mike, you look great. Of course, my mentor told me a long time ago that there's three stages of life. You might want to use this too, because and I need to mention that he's not here. I last week noted a number of noteworthy things on that particular day. What I slipped by me, but last Saturday was Ernie's 92nd birthday. So I know Daisy knows that because I know she called. But if you didn't get a chance to tell him happy birthday, you need to do that. But he said there's three stages of life, Pops. There's youth, there's middle age, and there's looking good. What our celebration is about, if you don't know what the ARC is, that is our Family Life Center. Tyler called it the gym. It's that building right over here. And God so blessed us that we were able to pay that off, not months or days or weeks, but years in advance. And we're going to celebrate that. And so please be here and be a part of that. And if you are visiting with us, please stick around and let us get to know you. It is, I believe, for those of us that have been here longer than Pops has, it is a wonderful, warm congregation and a group of God's men and women, and we would love for you to be a part of that. Let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed in song. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your servant, David, and Father, for the way that you used him and spoke through him this morning. We pray that our minds and our hearts were attuned, and Father, that we would not only listen, but Father, we'd be transformed by your word that you spoke so long ago that we have recorded in Deuteronomy, Father, that we would teach our children, and that we would teach them to love you above all else. Father, work through us in this day. We pray your Holy Spirit would not only indwell in us as you've promised, but Father, that he would work the will of Jesus to his glory and honor. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I heard David say, you got to take Jesus with you 24/7, wherever you go. You got to live him. You got to breathe him. He's got to be your life. You got to take
the Lord with you, children, everywhere you go.
You got to take
the Lord with you, children, everywhere you go.
You got to take
the Lord.
On the job,
on the
highway, In the street.
In the street.
In the home.
On the job.
Take the Lord with you. He is your mission.